Okay. Morning, Rabbi Yisrael. Continuing our discussion, we had two heterim so far for sitting down within Dalad Amos of a mespalel or somebody who's saying the first line of Kriya Shema Shema Yisrael. Number one was, and we discussed it at length, that you demonstrate that you are not that you're not ignoring the fact that somebody is davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, if you are obviously learning, or you're davening, or you're making up Ezer Mekoimon, or Pirkei Avos, we said, or saying Tehillim, but it's visible that you are actually involved in the Avodah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're obviously not, you're obviously with the Mispalel. He's davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're also in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that was Heta number one. Heta number two was the Mechitza. But we said that you need a mechitza probably in each direction that the that the mespalel is. So if the mespalel is on the side, you need your mechitza on the side. If he's behind you, you need a mechitza behind you. And if he's in front of you, you need a mechitza in front of you. So it's it might be practical. I don't know. If you can sort of put up an enclosure around yourself. Or stand in a tube or something like that, then you're probably okay. Now, the other two obvious heterium are, the next one is cholosh, which means somebody who's weak, an old man, somebody who's disabled, Rachman Litzlan, or anything like that, right? It's quite clear that the reason why he is sitting within the Dalad Amos of a Mispalel is because he can't stand. Yeah? So therefore, if it's too difficult for him to stand, then a person like that can sit. Although I saw that one of the Mefarshim brings down that Lechatchila would still be better if he could move away. Yeah, if he could move away, if he could sit outside the Dalad Amos of the Mespalel, would be better. But if the Cholosh can't sit Dalad Amos away from the Mespalel, then a Cholosh, a weak person, has that heter. And the final heter that we have, the obvious heter again, well, it's not so obvious, is that what happens if you were standing Shmoneh Esrei first? Sorry, the person was sitting first, and then somebody gets up and starts davening Shmoneh Esrei or Shema next within Dalad Amos of him. Yeah. So does he have to get up? I was here first, and he came, and he interrupted Kaviyochel by starting in Shmoneh Esrei. Do I have to stand up? So the halach is that you do not have to stand up because you were there first, Kaviyochel. But it says Lechatchila, it's a midas chasidus. It would be a midas chasidus. It would be better if you would stand up, but you don't have to. You don't have to al pi halacha. So that is the end, pretty much, of the discussion about sitting within Dalad Amos of Mespalel. We're now going to move on to a completely different inyan, which is the idea of walking across in front of Mespalel. Right? That's not my place there. He might be in the front row of the shul, and I want to walk across from one part of the shul to the other part of the shul, and I'm walking across the corridor, or the aisle, or whatever it is, and there's somebody standing Shmoneh Esrei there. And we'll also have situations where people plonk themselves down in Shmoneh Esrei just by the door, where you come in and out of the shul because they came late, and that sort of thing. There is an issa of being over lifnei mispalel. There are two reasons brought down. One reason is because you will disturb him. It will actually disturb his kavona. And the other reason is because you're mafsik the shechina. And there will be differences. There will be nafkaminas. For instance, just as an example, what happens if he's got his talus right down over his face? And therefore he can't see you. He doesn't know that you're not there. He doesn't know that you're there. It doesn't bother him at all. It can't disturb him that you're walking past. But you're still being mafsik between him and the shechina. So therefore, the reason for disturbing doesn't apply, but you're still being mafsik between the shechina. Therefore, that itself won't be a heter. So B'leidu, we'll discuss it in Yom Hashem tomorrow, the dinim of over lifnei mispalel, when you can walk in front of a mispalel, and when in most cases you can't. And remember as well that this halacha, unlike the halacha of sitting within Dalad Amos of a mispalel, this halacha only applies in front. It's only walking across in front of him. Right, walking down the side or walking behind him is no problem at all.
Start your day at Torreway in Northwest London, Tuesday, Kof Gimel, Elul, 16th of September, Marina Rav, Rubber Fall, Goldblatt, Schlitter. Can I open that door? This week's Torah has been sponsored by Norman Alabanatel, the mother of their granddaughter, Rina Menestechia, to David Belilo, Nerayoya, Eat Rotten Shim the Vines, Nemom, Yisrael, Shem, Yisrael. The Nishmas Ramosha ben Rav Yosef Zon Rochel, whose third Yahrzeit was last Friday, Yud Tes Elul. The Nishmas, our founder, Rav Yosef Dov ben Reb Shimon Michoel Tzvi Zichron Levrocha. Velizchus Hashvim Ha'chaylim Ba'melchamo Sheyachzru Levotayim L'Sholom B'mheiro.
Amen. It goes without saying that giving the Torah Leishir today, only 2 days after Dodi Zichron Levrocha's Levaya, he's at the forefront of our minds. He will be for a long time. As many people have said, Dodi was everybody's friend. But I've often thought and often said that the taking upon oneself that chraya is to make sure that there's a daily Magid Shir every single day, 6 days a week, and never being allowed to miss a day is something unusual. It was not infrequent that I got a call late Thursday afternoons asking if there's any way I could do whichever day it was the following week. And Dodi was never panicky, never pressurized, never was upset when I said that I couldn't. That's part of the reason why I often ended up saying I could. And it was something special. It also, obviously, as the Sfarim say, the Chasam Sofer and others, any Torah that continues to be learnt in the world even after somebody's passing, if it happened due to their influence, is a schus that's added to their cheshvan in Olam HaEmes. That's called Sifsois of Dovos Bakever. And every word of Torah that's learnt in this Miskeres and any other programs that Dodi was involved in setting up, even bringing the Kollel I've been zeicher to learn with for a number of years now to this Beis Medrash, Dodi was instrumental in that, which is what allowed the Kollel to expand in the way that it has. And every word of Torah that's learnt in any of these different settings is all to his schus, and he's rising rapidly in Olam HaEmes as we all learn. So what I wanted to talk about is a shaila that I'm often asked. Of course, Rosh Hashanah is coming, but Sukkot is also on the horizon. And that is the question. I know you've had a number of shiurim already, and I think you have more coming about different Sukkot, indoor Sukkot and others, and how the Sukkot can be constructed and where the different walls are, etc. And we often have a Sukkot which is only kosher because there's a door in a certain place, whether it be the back door of a house, sometimes a double door, a bifold door, a sliding door. So when the door is open, sometimes the sukkah is not a kosher sukkah. When the door is closed, then the door is a kosher sukkah, and people are told you have to make sure to have the door closed when you put the schach on, chashoshes of tasav alemin ha'osi, etc. But there's another question, which is, what happens if I open and close that door over the course of sukkahs? When the door was open, the sukkah was posel. When it is closed again, then the sukkah becomes kosher. What halachas are involved in that? Is there any restriction on opening the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for example? And what happens if it's accidentally opened? Can I then close it? Because that means that I'm remaking my sukkah. I'm creating a sukkah kshera on Shabbos or Yom Tov. On Chol HaMoed, there's no issa involved in any melacha with regard to such a thing. It's not a masa uman, it's a tzarech mitzvah. And therefore, of course, you can open and close the door. There wouldn't be any shaila. And as I said, tasav lemen ha'osui would not apply once the schach is already in place. As the Rama says in Simen Tofresh Chavav, something that's on a hinge is not, tasav lemen ha'osui doesn't apply, and that's generally accepted by the poskim. However, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a completely different shaila. It's not a shaila in Hilchas Sukkah. It's not a shaila about the making of the sukkah. It's not a shaila about tasav lemen ha'osui. But there's a different shaila, which is the issa midrabonon of making a mechitza hamateres, and that goes as follows. So we know that the Gemara says there's a melacha of boina. One of the 39 melachas min haTorah is the melacha of boina, and the Gemara says that somebody who makes an oihel keva, somebody who makes something which, even though it's not a cemented structure, it's not. It's mostly relevant to Vilon Sukkot. We'll talk about some other cases as well. I most often am asked the question with regard to Sukkot, because practically that's when it comes into most people's worlds. So the Gemara says that somebody who makes an oihel keva, somebody who builds something which is defined as a structure of an oihel and is there kavua, without getting into the detail of what's called kavua, that's a tolda of the melacha of boina. Melacha of boina is if you build something solid, a solid structure with cement or whatever it may be, not only with cement, build something like a wall or a house or a fence, whatever it may be, those are all the av melacha of boina. And if somebody makes an oihel keva, that's a tolda of boina. And the Gemara says that it's also midrabonon to make an oihel arai. Although in other cases of boina, potentially something that's obviously only temporary might be completely mutter, depending on the circumstances. But in a case of oihel, if somebody creates something which is a halachically kosher oihel with regard to Hilchus Tum of Atara, for example, and other such halachas. If somebody creates something which has that chashivus that in halacha is defined as an oihel, even if it's only there very temporarily, that is an issa drabonon on Shabbos. The Rishonim learn in the sugyas. There is a machlokes about it, but most Rishonim learn, and we take on la halacha. The Mechaber speaks about this in Siman Shin Tesvov and other places, that although most cases of oihel, most cases of the issa drabonon of making an oihel aray, are talking about a horizontal oihel or a sloping oihel, which is covering an area, and for example, would spread tumah underneath itself. But if somebody creates a vertical mechitza, and that mechitza is in a place where it's intended in order to be matir something, in order to create some sort of change in halachic status of the space next to it, then that's also included in the issa drabonon of asiyas oihel, making a mechitza hamateres. There are Rishonim who disagree, but the vast majority of the Rishonim and Kipshute, there are strong riots in the sugyas for this, as the Rishonim say, the Bali Tosis and others. There is making a mechitza hamateres, making a halachic structure which creates a change of status in the space next to it, is also midrabonon on Shabbos, even if that is even if it's a very temporary structure and it's very clear it's only temporary and it can be made just of a few strings, as we know, can make lovered strings and create heta in all sorts of different areas of halacha. Afilo hochi, that's also midrabonon. It's included in the issa drabonon of making an oihel aray. For example, Yanki just mentioned somebody sitting in front of a mispalel. Within Dalad Amos of a Mispalel, Lav Dafke in front, and possibly not more chomer when it's in front, where one of the Heterim is creating a Mechitza. If somebody wants to sit down behind a Mispalel within Dalad Amos, can he put a plank there, which isn't Mukta, it's something which has a use, can he stand it there between himself and the Mispalel so that he can sit down if it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Then he's not allowed to, because he's created a Mechitza Hamateres. Cases that are mentioned in the Gemara, cases of a person who was stuck outside the Tchum and they created mechitzos around him in order to enable him to go into the Tchum, and discussion in the Gemara why it was mutter, making a sukkah, making a het of tiltul, such as an Erev, or mechitzos around an area to make it into a Rosh HaYochid, and the Rishonim talk about many other such cases as well. The Rishonim say that if it's a case of a mechitza which isn't halachically defined as a mechitza, even if it's there for a halachic purpose, such as a mechitza between men and women for tzorchei tznius, in that case it's not included in the issa, because the issa is only when it's a halachically defined mechitza, and in that case it doesn't have to be a halachic mechitza, it is just a metzias of separating the men and the women, and although of course it's something desirable in halacha, and in some cases even essential in halacha, nevertheless it's not a halachic defined mechitza. For example, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that a mechitza in a shul, although you have to have it there, and many poskim say you're not allowed to daven in a shul if there are women in the shul and there is no mechitza, despite that, says Rav Moshe, since the mechitza is not, it's not required that it's a halachically kosher mechitza, for example, it can blow in the wind, doesn't have to reach within three tochim of the floor, etc., so that you're allowed to make on Shabbos, because that's not a mechitza hamateres, it's a mechitza which creates heta, but it's not a mechitza that changes the status of the area next to it in a halachic way. Those who suggest, which I don't know of any posek who says it, but I'm told that there are shuls that rely on this tzad, those who suggest that a mechitza in a shul only has to be 10 tefachim tall, would l'chayra have to be machmir, that they can't build that mechitza on Shabbos, because they are arguing with Rav Moshe in terms of the definition of mechitza l'kula, but that comes out as a chumra, because for them it would be a halachic mechitza, and therefore mechitza hamateres. So, how would that be relevant to a sukkah? So the Rishonim say, since it's also to make a mechitza hamateras, you're not allowed to make a mechitza that creates heta. Similarly, you're not allowed to make a mechitza that completes a sukkah. Tosfos, for example, says you're allowed to make a fourth wall of a sukkah, since a sukkah does not have to have a fourth wall. You're allowed to eat in that sukkah, even if it only has three walls, and it's completely kosher. Even if you want to add a fourth wall to that sukkah, there is no issue of mechitza hamateras. So that would be mutter, as long as it's not an issue of boine mamish, it's only an issue of Dova Arai, as we've discussed, that would not be defined as a mechitza hamateres. However, says Tosfos, building a third wall of a sukkah, since the sukkah is not kosher without that third wall, that would be awesome. So, if somebody has a sukkah which only has two walls, for example, many indoor sukkahs which are constructed with only two walls, and then they put a third wall in place specifically for sukkahs, a bookcase or a couch or whatever it may be, I've seen all sorts of different things being used to create the third wall, a curtain, anything as long as it fulfills the criteria of mechitza, as long as it's omid beruch metzuya and it's ten tefachim high and it reaches the gimel tefachim of the ground, etc. If a person wants to move that wall away on Shabbos or Yom Tov, not only is the sukkah possible, Not only is there a shayla of tasa v'lemin ha'asu if it puts it back, which depends on exactly what there is without that wall, but also it's an issa of stiras mechitza materas. And if it gets knocked accidentally, because the issa of boina obviously has its opposite, which is the melach of soisa, just like there's an issa of making an oihalare and a mechitza materas, there's an issa of being soisa, an oihalare or mechitza materas. So a person who, when the sukkah is kosher, doesn't feel they have enough space, so they want to move this bookcase away so that they can have more space in the house when they're not eating, and therefore they don't actually need a sukkah, they would not be allowed to do so on Shabbos. And more problematically, if it gets moved accidentally, it will be osur to put it back on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because that is a classic case of making a mechitza hamateres.
That's midrabonon.
It's osur midrabonon because it's only arai, but it's a drabonon is also osur. So if a person...
If you've got a small piece of in the wall, and you want to mushroom it today...
We'll come to that soon. So if a person has a sukkah which isn't kosher, and he's made it kosher by building a third wall, let's describe it as building a third wall, because for our purposes the point is we're talking about Melechas Boina, and that third wall accidentally gets moved out of place, one of the children knocks it over or something like that on Shabbos or Yom Tov, he would not be allowed to put it back, despite the fact that that means he doesn't have a sukkah kshera for the rest of Yom Tov until Chol HaMoed, when he can put it back. He's not allowed to. It's an Issa Drabonon, Kimat according to all Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention any Tzadok to be Cholik, and all the poskim say that one has to be Machmir. One would be allowed to ask a goy to put it back, be a shvus to shvus, but Mokka Mitzvah, since otherwise he doesn't have a sukkah, in order to make sure he has a sukkah and can eat his Yom Tov meal in his house in the sukkah, wouldn't have to go begging from the neighbors, can I bring my food and eat in your sukkah? That would be considered a tzorich mitzvah, and therefore he'd be allowed to ask a goy to put it back, but he wouldn't be allowed to do it himself. That's with regard...
First night Yom Tov, he needs to be in the sukkah, he's got a mitzvah, wouldn't that?
No, he'd have to find a neighbor.
If he can't,
he's probably potim in a sukkah, because at that moment he's an oinus. He can't be over nisa drabonon in order to be mekayim b'toraisa. Not usually. So that's with regard to if a wall of the sukkah has been removed. How is that relevant to opening and closing doors? So as we said at the beginning, many cases, the sukkah is only complete because a certain door is closed, and it's important for people to know when they have sukkahs which are reliant on doors, which doors can they open, which doors can't they open, it has to be checked. Sometimes with a double door, the sukkah is kosher only if one half of the door is kosher. Sometimes with sliding doors, it's kosher only if one part of the door, or if the door remains in a certain position. Sometimes you can move it a bit, but not too much. All sorts of different applications of how this is, and it's important for somebody whose sukkah is reliant on an area which changes, even opening windows can create problems, though less commonly. It's important for them to know, just in terms of knowing whether their sukkah is going to be kosher or not, what door can be opened and the sukkah can remain kosher, and what door must remain closed in order for the sukkah to remain kosher. In which case we have the question, can you open the door on Shabbos or Yom Tov if that means that by doing so you're invalidating the sukkah, you're turning the sukkah into a sukkah psula? Are you being soisa and oyal arai by opening the door? We said before that creating a sukkah, putting a third wall in place for a sukkah, is an issa drabonon of making a mechitza hamateres. Removing that third mechitza is an issa drabonon of being soiser a mechitza hamateres. So besides needing to be aware of whether the sukkah is kosher or not in order to be allowed to eat there, besides potentially in some cases questions of tasa v'lemin ha'osui, we also have a question, are you allowed to open and close the door on Shabbos and Yom Tov? If somebody wants to open the door into the garden to let the children out, or any other situation where for some reason the door needs to be moved, or as I said before, has already accidentally been opened, is he allowed to close it? If that means that he's rendering the sukkah a sukkah kshera, is that included in the issa of mechitza hamateres? I was asked an interesting question just a couple of weeks ago with regard to the golden screen Eruv, where, as I said before, making an Eruv kosher is also included in the issa of mechitza hamateres, besides potential issurim of genuine boina and kosher and so on, and other sorts of cases, depending what exactly he's doing. A younger man was walking along one of the streets towards near the boundary of the gold screen Eruv, and he noticed that the council had built temporary fences and were working on the pavement, and the fences went around one of the posts of the Tzuras HaPesach. Now, a Tzuras HaPesach that is inside Rishus HaYochid is a Machlokes HaPoskim. Mishavur brings from the Kerchaim, the Chavistas, at the back of his Sefer Nuchas Pesach, has a few points about Erevin, that if a Tzuras HaPesach, if the post of a Tzuras HaPesach is itself inside a Rishus HaYochid, that makes the Tzuras HaPesach kosher. Other poskim disagree. And the halacha is, the Heintige Poskim take on, that if it's a temporary fence that created that Rishus HaYochid, that definitely one can be Mekel. Shlomo Miller Shlita said to me a number of years ago, if you wouldn't take on that way, I spoke to him about a certain Shaila in somebody's own little Erev in their front garden, and he said to me, if you wouldn't take on that a temporary Rishus HaYochid would not be a problem, then just people walking past or cars driving past can create an issue with an Erev as well, and that's impossible, and no Erev in the world can be Machmir for that. So Min HaDin, of course, even if the fences that were constructed by the council created Rishus HaYochid, which I wasn't there, and the young man told me he wasn't sure if it was, he didn't know how he couldn't measure it, he didn't necessarily know all of the halachas that are relevant, but even if it would have been Rishus HaYochid, the Erev would have been kosher. However, he asked me on Sunday morning, could I have moved it to avoid the Shaila? He knows that we take on that a temporary Rishus HaYochid doesn't affect the kashrus of an Erev, but why not avoid the Shaila if possible? So I said to him, Mimonavshach, if the Erev is kosher, then there's no reason to move it. And if the Erev would be possible, if this would be a Shaila or even a Chumri in the Erev, then by moving that fence, you're making the Erev kosher, and you're not allowed to make an Erev kosher on Shabbos. So, but if you want to be Machmir for the consideration that Tzuras HaPesach inside Rishus HaYochid, even when it's temporary, might be problematic, then you would not be allowed to move that fence, even though you're not actually touching the Tzuras HaPesach, you're removing something else from around it, that would still be included in the Issa of making a Mechitza Materes. I said he could have asked a Goy to move it, for sure, that would definitely be allowed, because Mimonavshach, if the Erev is Kasha, there's no Malach involved, if the Erev would be Chashash Posel, then it would be Mutter, because it's obviously a Tzorech Mitzvahs Rabim, but for him himself to do it, L'chore is problematic. Interesting thought, is there a Tzad to say that a person can be Mekel for himself in this Shaila, and consider that it's not Posel, in order to save everybody else from the Tzad Chumra for the Rabim? That's an interesting thought. Pashas, I think that he should not be moving it. Al-Kabonim, that's with regard to actually moving a fence. How's that relevant to opening and closing doors or other such cases? So in the halachas of Asiyas Oihel Arai, in the halachas of making a horizontal oihel, such as a mat that's stretched out for shade or anything like that, the Gemara says that to be moisif al-ha-oihel is mutter. If you already have a tefach of that oihel opened out, then you're allowed to add more to it, whether that's by unrolling it further or by putting something else on top of it, which is larger, or any such case. Similarly, the Gemara says if you have something which is on hinges, even if you have something which has strings attached which enable you to pull it across a frame, all of these cases are not included in the Issa of Asiyas Oihel, because it's considered already made, and all you're doing is Moisif Al Ha'Oihel. So if you have a partial covering already, a structure which is already partially covered, you can bring another canvas or whatever it may be and stretch it over the rest of the space, although you're now putting something completely new on top, but all you're doing is being moisif al ha'oel, and in the Issa Drabonon of making an oihel arai, there's no Issa of being moisif. And as I said, that includes cases of things that are on hinges, hoods of buggies, anything like that is always included in this heter. There's a discussion in the Poskim whether we can apply the same heter to a mechitza materes. Since the basis of the Issa of Mechitza HaMateres, the basis of the Issa of creating a halachic structure such as a sukkah or an Erev or any other type of Mechitza is based on the Issa Drabonon of Oihel Arai, should we say that just like with an Oihel, when there is a Tefach already in place, you can be Moisif, similarly with a Mechitza, you can be Moisif? And this is a Sofik in the Achron. The Ramah, at the beginning of Simshin Tezvov, brings a case from Maharam Rotenberg. Maram Rodenberg was talking about a case of a person who had a candle burning in his bedroom and he needed to put a mechitza in order to be Meshamash Mitosli. So there are various ways of avoiding the Issa of being Meshamash Bifnei Haner. One of them would be covering it, but another one is building a mechitza. Some poskim suggest that although, even if a person wants to rely on the heta of creating a mechitza, since he could have created heta in a different way, such as by covering it, which would not have been a halachic mechitza, that means it's not defined as a mechitza materes. But the Maamar Rotenberg says not like that. Maamar Rotenberg says that building this mechitza, because it's relying on a heta that's created by a halachic mechitza, that's considered a mafsik between the ner and the rest of the room, that is an issa of asiyas mechitza hamateres, just like the other cases that we mentioned before. Says the Maamar Rotenberg, so if a person is going to be in that situation, he has a candle burning and he will need to put a mechitza there in order to be meshamash mitosei, he will need to make sure that the mechitza is already porus tefach. If it's open a tefach, then he'll only need to be moisif ala mechitza, and if he only needs to be moisif ala mechitza, that will be mutter. So the Ramah brings this Maram Rottenberg and says that if a person is building a mechitza in front of a neir for this reason, or any other mechitza, if it's already open to the width of a tefach, then he'll be allowed to continue the mechitza because that will create heter. So many poskim learn from this, the Chai Odom and the Avnei Nezer and the Hartzvi, many poskim learn from this, that it's clear from this Maram Rottenberg that just like there's a heter of being moisif on an oihel arai, just like if you already have a tefach stretched out of a horizontal covering, which is the is of asiyas oihel, if you already have a tefach there, you're allowed to add to it because Chazal only imposed an is on creating something new, not on being moisif. The same applies to a mechitza. If you have a mechitza which is already a tefach in place, if there's a tefach of the mechitza already in the right location, and all you need to do is extend that further, then just like moisif al oihel is mutter, similarly moisif al hamechitza is mutter. There are two different reasons, however, why some poskim disagree. The Prima Gadim says that possibly there's a chiluk in the type of mechitza hamateres. If you have a mechitza which is already a tefach wide, then that is a kosher mechitza to cover that tefach. In theory, if a person wants to sit next to a mispalel, and the person who's sitting down is only a tefach wide, I know people are not only a tefach wide, but if you find someone who's only a tefach wide, and you put a mechitza next to the mispalel, a mechitza of a tefach is matir, the space next to itself. So a mechitza which is a tefach wide is already a mechitza. If you have a mechitza which is, let's say the Prima Gadim says, you have a mechitza which is hanging down only one tefach, that's nothing. So although in the heta of moisif al ha'oihel, if it's stretched out one tefach, that's enough to create heta all the way across, but in Mechitza HaMateres, suggests the Prima Gadim, although it's true that it's clear from the Maram Rottenberg that there's a heta of being Moisif al HaMechitza, that's only, says the Prima Gadim, perhaps, that's only when what was already in place is itself a kosher Mechitza. But if what you're doing is creating the Mechitza, even if you already have 9 Tvachim of the Mechitza in place, but it's not yet a kosher Mechitza, that would still be osa because you can't define it as Moisif al Ha'oihel, Moisif al HaMechitza, if the whole heter is only coming into being because of this. So it's a Prima Gadim, and based on that, if we take on like this Svara, then in a case of Sukkah, you'll never have a heter. Because if the sukkah is possible without completing the mechitza, even though the mechitzos of the sukkah are kosher mechitzas for other purposes, you can sit inside the apostle sukkah if there's someone davening the other side, if there's tzoya the other side, meshamesh v'nehaner, all of these cases, kilayim, all of these cases where all you need is a barrier between yourself and the other side, of course these are kosher mechitzas. But the heter that you're trying to create is dependent on this last part being added. In that case, says the Prima Gadim, he would feel the Maram Rottenberg is not a Makor to be Matir. So although it's true that the concept of Moisif al Ha'oihel applies to Mechitza Materis, the Prima Gadim suggests that that's only in a case of when what was already there, in theory, obviously not necessarily practically, but in theory, could have created a heter by itself. But if what was already in place could not have created a heter by itself, then potentially, says the Prima Gadim, the heta of Moisif al Mechitza does not apply. The Prima Gadim concludes by saying that the Loshon of the Beis Yosef is not mashma like his suggestion. It's mashma in the Beis Yosef that the same applies if it's hanging down a tefach, but tzorich iyun. And a number of the Achronim take on that Lemaisa the Prima Gadim was not machriya, and therefore it remains a machloikos. As I said, the Chaya Odom, the Avnei Nezer, the Hartzvi, many Achronim take on that Moisif on a Mechitza Materis is always mutter, but the Prima Gadim is machmir. Similarly, later on in Simchat Tesvov, in the Mishnah Berurah of Kotan Lamed Tes, he brings the Mogen Avraham. The Mogen Avraham says that if you have a mechitza rolled up and attached to a wall with strings on it, where the Mechaba says that there's no Isov Asiyas Oihel because the strings that are in place to enable you to pull it across defines it as a Moisif Al Ha'oihel, says the Mogen Avraham, there is no such heta in mechitza. And says the Mishnah Berurah, "V'yesh mekilim b'zeh." So, although at the beginning of Shin Tezvov we seem to have a mufurish a makor to be allowed to be moisif on a mechitza, but it's clearly a machloikas of the noisik kelim, as the Mishnah Berurah says, "Kodel lametes." At least in the case of pulling something with a string that's already attached, which the Rishonim define as another example of moisif. So it's clear, a number of Achronim point this out, it's clear that we have a machloikas Achronim whether there's a heta of being moisif al hamechitza materes, at least in a case of when the part of the mechitza that was already in place is something that could not have created heter. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach asks another question. He says that over here, Even the Prima Godim concludes that the Beis Yosef is not mashma like him. The Mishnah Berurah in the case of Chutzai Meshicha brings Yesh Mekilim in a Shaila V'drabonon. Maybe you can rely on the Mekilim B'mokum Tzorich. Especially, maybe the whole Mogen Avram, who was Machmir, was only the case of when it's a string attached to it, because that itself is a complicated sugya, when it's considered a Hete in a Siyas Oil and when it isn't. But he says there's a different Mefurash Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Simon Tofresh Lamed Zayin brings from the Sefer Pischei Oilam B'Shem Tshuvah Shoilu Meshiv that if a part of a person's Schach has fallen off, you're not allowed to put it back. Even if there's already a part of the schach there, and it's mashma, says the Mishnah Berurah, even if the sukkah is already kosher, but if you want to make the sukkah bigger, you're not allowed to add it on. Why? Because it's asiyas oihel hamatir. Just like there's an issa of asiyas mechitza materis, obviously there's also an issa of making an oihel, which is matir something. Only relevance l'chore will be in a case of sukkah, where you need to have something on top as well as on the sides, and any case of oihel is always already asa anyway. But says the Sholem Meshiv, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes, although mitzad, the classic din of asiyas oihel, you would be allowed to do this because you're only being moisif ala oihel, you already have at least 7 tfachim of schach kosher, so you're only being moisif, and the normal din of making an oihel would not apply because you're allowed to be moisif ala oihel. When you're adding schach, it's not true, because then it's making an oihel hamatir, and oihel hamatir is like mechitza materis, and therefore it's asa. So the Sholem Meshiv himself and the Pischei Olam who quotes him may well hold, like the Prima Godim, like the Mogen Avraham in the case of attaching a chut to it, that there's no heta of being moisif on a mechitza materis. Although the Maramir Rottenberg said there was, maybe they disagree, or maybe they hold like the Prima Godim, that there's a chiluk, whatever the svara would be, why they would be machmir. But the question asked to Tremis Zalman is why the Mishnah Berurah, who in Simon Shin Tezvov, Sif Aleph, doesn't say anything, and therefore Pashtus, he would be assuming that there's a het of Mechitza Materes, and in Simon Shin Tezvov, Sigot Lamed Tes, brings a Machloikas, why in Simon Tofresh Lamed Zayin in Hilchas Sukkah, does he just say it's Asa and not say that there's any Tzad to be Matir? Why doesn't he bring that Yesh Mekilim, like he did in Simon Shin Tezvov, Sigot Lamed Tes, who allow, even if it's just got a string attached to it, which is a much more controversial heta, Kal V'Chomer, they can be Matir over here? And more than that, even the svara of the Prima Godim, the svara of the Prima Godim was that the mechitza that's already there doesn't create any heta. Over here, if you have a kosher sukkah and you're putting more schach on it, of course you already have a heta. Even the Prima Godim should agree it should be mutter. So how can the Mishnah Berurah in Simon Tofresh Lamed Zayin say, without mentioning a choluk, that you can't extend a sukkah on Yom Tov, who had in Kavul Chaim Shabbos, without mentioning that there's anyone who's matir, when Simon Shin Tezvov L'Chayr it's mefurish in the Ramah that the Maramir Rottenberg was matir being moisif on a mechitza, and even the Prima Godim who restricted that heta to a case of when what you have is already sufficient to be matir in some imaginary scenario should be matir over here in the case of sukkah. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's an important chiluk between a sukkah and who had in an Erev and the cases that the poskim are discussing in Simon Shin Tezvov. In the cases in Simon Shin Tezvov, what is the mechitza trying to create? The mechitza is trying to recreate separation. A mechitza between a person and a ne, between a person and tzoya, between a person and a mispalel, mechitza in kilayim, any of these cases, what you're creating is separation. A mechitza that stands completely by itself in the middle of nowhere and isn't attached to any side walls is sufficient for all these cases, because all you need is a barrier. And even though in Hilchas Erevin and in Hilchas Sukkah, a mechitza that has air on both sides wider than itself is not relevant, it's not considered to be a mechitza at all, but a mechitza that's in the middle of nowhere between a person and any of these things, that's sufficient, because all the mechitza needs to create is hafroda, is separation between the two sides. There, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you can have a heta of being moisif al hamechitza. Just like there's a heta of being moisif ala oil, and within that we'll have the two machloikas that we've mentioned, the Prima Godim and the Chaye Odom, the machloikas in the Mishnah Berurah in Sikot and Lamates about the Chutzei Meshicha case. There's all that discussion, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, is talking about being moisif on a mechitza hamateres, where all that's required is the separation of mechitza. It may happen to be connected to wall, it may happen to be something that could have become a Rishus Hayachid on Shabbos or whatever the case may be, but what's required and the intention of the person is to create separation. There, if there's a starting point of a mechitza, then you can be moisif just like on an oihel. In a sukkah, and hu hadin, in an eruv, what you're creating is not a separation, it's a full perimeter. Even in a sukkah, which is only 3 walls or 2.5 walls, and in Kal V'Chomer, in an eruv, which is 4 walls, what you're creating is you're surrounding, you're circumscribing a certain area to change the definition of that whole area. If any part of what you're doing is missing, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you don't have even a partial hekav. In mechitza, you can have a concept of a partial mechitza, even in the Prima Godim's case. Even if you're maker like the Chaya Adam and the Avnei Nezer and the Har Tzvi, that the Prima Godim's svara, and like the Prima Godim himself says, is Mashmah the Beis Yosef, that even a tefach of a mechitza, which is completely useless and not defined halachically as a mechitza at all, except in halachas of Tassel Rimna Osli, is sufficient to consider it mechitza, moisif ala mechitza. That's all only when what you're trying to do is create a barrier, because a barrier can be started and then completed. A hekef, surrounding something, enclosing something, circumscribing something, that, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's no starting point and finishing point, it's either there or it isn't. And says Rav Shlomo Zalman, lehalacha, and this is Paskin, he Paskin's this in Shmini Shabbos Kol Chosam, Shem Shem Mazalman, other Talmidim also say it. That's the answer to this theory in the Mishnah Berurah. Why is it that in Siman Shin Tes Vov, the Mishnah Berurah allows you to be Moisif on a Mechitza and doesn't sound like he holds like the Prima Godim? And even in the case of the string, he brings Yesh Mekilim. But in Sukkah, he's Machmir without mentioning anything, even though Lechoira, the Sukkah was already kosher, and all you're doing it is extending. All you're doing to it is extending it. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, in Sukkah and in Eruv, there is no heta of Moisif ala Mechitza, unlike over there. The Har Tzvi and the Avnei Nezer disagree. But that's the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Now, the Avnei Nezer asks a question. Some of you may know that in Hilchos Eruvin, there are cases which are mutter by building dlosses, by building doors. Those dlosses have to be allowed to be opened and closed on Shabbos. It has to be a delis horoi lino, in some cases even has to be practically opened and closed every night, or at least every Friday night. Says the Avnei Nezer, if you have can only make your Eruv kosher because the door can be opened and closed, that l'chore would mean, says the Avnei Nezer, that that door is a mechitza which is completing the Eruv. It's not completing the Erev in the classic sense that there's a gap in the Erev which is being complete. It's completing the Erev halachically because the Erev isn't kosher unless the door can be opened and closed. Says the Avnei Nezer. So l'chore, this is a deles hamatir. Why is that allowed? Says the Avnei Nezer, because it's on hinges. And when it's on hinges, there's no issa of mechitza materes. Rav Meir Arik in his tshuva, the Tarnopol Arov in his tshuvas Imre Yosha Simen Kuf Yud says that this Avnei Nezer is l'shitosli. The Avnei Nezer, who holds that you can be moisif on a mechitza, holds that there's a heta of opening and closing a door on hinges. But if he would have held like the Prima Godim, and he doesn't mention Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara, but Kal Vachom, if he would have held like Rav Shlomo Zalman's svara, then in Erevin Lekula Alma there's no heta. That the Mishnah Berurah at least is soisim that in Erevin there is, that in Erevin and in Sukkah there is no such heta, then it would have been a problem. Says Rav Meir Arik, those who hold that you're not allowed to be moisif on a mechitza materes in a case of Sukkah or Erevin must hold that it doesn't matter that you can't open and close the door on Shabbos. It says it's roilino. Roilino means physically, it doesn't mean halachically. It says the Prima Godim must hold that even though you've created your Erev with doors that have to be able to be opened and closed, that means physically, halachically not. Others say another argument. They say that dlosses are never a mechitza materes. The doors are not matir b'toris mechitza. They're matir because they mean that the rabbim don't have outright control over the space, and that's nothing to do with the sugya mechitza materes. We don't need to get into that. So the question is, it's clear, Avnei Nezer is not explicit, but it's clear in the Tshuva of the Imre Yosha that the basis of the heta of opening and closing a door on hinges is included in the heta that we've discussed of Moisif ala Mechitza. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, and this is not in Shmini Shabbos Kol Chosam, but it's quoted in Shulchan Shlomo, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if so, L'choira, l'fim my svara, that you're not allowed to be moisef on a sukkah, that the heta of Siman Shin Tes Vov, even if you're not machmir for the Prima Godim, that you can be moisef on a mechitza, does not apply to a sukkah. L'choira, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, you cannot open and close a door if the kashrus of the sukkah is requires that door to be closed. In Shmir Shabbos Kulchos, in the new edition they bring, that Rav Shlomo Zalman's maskana was that it's mutter. He decided, and this is a chiddush, that something which is on a hinge is better than any other case of matter. So bottom line, Rav Shlomo Zalman held, according to Shmir Shabbos Kulchos, though other Talmidim seem to say not like that, that one can open and close the door, that even a shittosoy, that there's no heta of moisif al hamachit in a case of sukkah, opening and closing a door is not included in that issa. But as I said, other Talmidim quote from him that one should be machmir. And there's a story that Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein brings from his father-in-law, Rav Eliashiv. A person had a sukkah on his balcony, and there were strong winds in Yerushalayim, there were strong winds, and the third wall blew away. However, even after the third wall had blown away, the door of his flat actually functioned as a kosher third wall of the sukkah. Except that it happened to be that that door had been left open the whole sukkah. Said Rav Eliashiv, you're not allowed to close that door now. even though you don't have a sukkah ksheru, you're not allowed to close that door. It might be a slightly different case because they'd never intended that to be part of the sukkah beforehand, but Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein takes on not like that. Rabbi Yashiv passed that it is also similarly, similarly the stipler. There was a story with the stipler of a similar case where a sukkah was kosher only because the trisim were closed over the window, and he said you're not allowed to open and close them on Shabbos and Yom Tov. A number of posts can take on that, although, as you've, I hope, understood from this, from the shir, it is a bit of a chiddush to suggest that the heter of being matir doesn't apply to sukkah. The Prima Godim and Shlomo Zalman, for different reasons, suggest that one should be machmir, but many poskim took on its mutter. Since there are a number of poskim who take on that there is no such heter, including as the Prima Godim, as I said before, in one tzad, Shlomo Zalman believes that's the stima of the Mishnah Berurah. Definitely, it's preferable to be machmir, though everybody should ask his own rav. Preferable to be machmir, not to open and close doors and windows, even though they are on hinges, if the kashas of the sukkah is dependent upon that.
Sliding
is the same as hinges. Rishi Yashin's case was actually a sliding door.
That's only if there's only dust at all. If it's a long